Well, I'll have to move quickly this morning. The difficulty with the subject at hand is the immense amount of material that sits on my desk, and I had to winnow it again and again and again. As someone said, preaching good sermons is saving the best and letting the rest go. And sometimes it's hard to let the rest go. But someone asked R.C. Sproul, and it might be a little longer this morning. I'm usually too long anyway, but I'll speak as quickly as possible. Someone asked R.C. Sproul about the problem of pain and wondered if in a fallen world it is more accurate to speak of the problem of pleasure. Sproul wrote, can be a narcotic and seductive, so that the more we enjoy it, the more we experience it, and the less aware we become of our dependency on it and the need for God's forgiveness. Pleasure can be evil disguised, designed by the devil to lend us into ultimate ruin. That is why the pursuit of pleasure can be a dangerous thing. Whether experiencing pain or pleasure, we must not lose sight of God and our need of Him. That was Sproul's reply to the question. Well, you might think it rather strange this morning to begin a sermon on euthanasia, that is the killing of the elderly, the lame, the maimed, the helpless, the defenseless, and defective, not with pain, but with pleasure. But really, euthanasia is all about pleasure. It is all about a society so wrapped up in hedonistic pleasure and the pursuit thereof that if anyone or anything gets in their way, they must be removed violently if necessary. Consider the works of Jacques Attali. He is the former president of the European Bank, and he said, beyond 60, 65 years of age, man costs society a lot of money. From society's point of view, it is preferable that the human machine, notice human machine, stop suddenly rather than face progressive deterioration. In light of our topic today, I have chosen an apt text, I believe, from Proverbs 24 and 11. Rescue those who are being led to death. Hold back those who are staggering toward slaughter. And if you pretend that you do not know, God knows your heart. As you know, the Inferior Court of Canada, because God alone is the Supreme Court, has ruled that our House of Commons must come up with new laws and safeguards to regulate what once was deemed as murder. Now, if you believe that they can come up with safeguards, then I'd appreciate if you'd see me after the service. I have a bridge near Nipigon I'm willing to sell you. Let's be absolutely clear. This ruling by the Inferior Court amounts to a tectonic shift and removal of ancient landmarks that makes a certain Xmas tsunami mere child's play. Do not be deceived. In one fell swoop, the inferior, and shall we say impious and even iniquitous court, has swept away case law after case law, statute after statute, law after law that affirm that the taking of innocent life is homicide and subject to punishment. They have overturned the Judeo-Christian bedrock that human beings are made in the image of God Himself, and it is God, not the inferior court, that bestows upon man his intrinsic worth. In fact, the intrinsic value of every life was recognized even by pagan Greeks in the Hippocratic Oath that the physician will do the patient no harm. The only time in over 3,000 years of history that a state has violated these principles, the only exception being Germany during Hitler's 12 years reign, and now today our Canada. And long before Hitler came to power, as far back as the 1930s, legislators, universities, media, medical staff began pushing the idea that some lives have no value. Killing centers were opened up and the disowned were transported to killing centers by the charitable transport of the sick. Some for no greater reason than bedwetting or big ears. Families were then informed of the death of their brother, sister, mother, father, child, and handed bill for the costs. When Hitler came to power, he simply redoubled the efforts and honed the skill of killing in preparation for his death camps. Over 270,000 victims preceded the crematoriums that were set up at Auschwitz. The ending of the Second World War exposed the horror of these camps and set back the euthanasia movement in Britain, Canada, and the United States for 70 years. Today, it's all a distant memory, and the hemlock societies once again are beating the drums for killing centers. I remember watching a film on the Nuremberg trials. Spencer Tracy was one of the actors. He was a judge. And I remember as I watched the film, the Spencer Tracy as a judge was called down to the prison to interview one of the judges that were in Germany at the time before Hitler came to power and after Hitler was in power. And the judge was greatly distressed, this German judge, of what had happened in Germany. And he asked a simple question. He said, "How did all of this happen?" And Spencer Tracy said, "The moment that you condemned the first innocent person to death, the trickle and then the flood." And I remember the acting ability because it was almost as if that man's face turned pale. We ask ourselves the question, how can this happen? How can this be? A little back as, say, 1992, in Canada, the Law Reform Commission wrote, the preservation of human life is acknowledged to be a fundamental value of our society. That's 1992. The commission believes that any reform having to do with human life must begin by admitting a firm presumption in favor of life. In the absence of reasons to the contrary, the patient should always be presumed to want to live, and that the patient would prefer life to death even when unable to express his preference. 1992. What has happened between 1992 and 2016? I want you to understand why the inferior court, with its ruling, has cut the ground from under us and left us without support and security and standing in midair. From 1992, you switch to 2015, and the inferior court set aside thousands of years of physician do no harm and ruled, listen, and this is the committee that has been set up to review these things, and this is what they're going to bring to Parliament, death on demand for those medically diagnosed serious illnesses, death on demand for those with disabilities, death on demand for those diagnosed with mental illness. Can the mentally ill make decisions like that? Death on demand for mature children 16 years old and up. Not certain with a parent will have any say. This is the outline that is coming to our legislators that will be voted on by liberal members of parliament without so much as a whimper or a debate of the passing of Old Canada. That's what's happening here. The passing of Canada as we know it and knew it. Every Liberal MP must vote in favor, as Trudeau is reneging on the promise to give more free votes to backbenchers. I'm not surprised, by the way. So when I asked at the local MP's office about the fact that he would have to vote according to Trudeau's dictate, he replied that the courts have ruled. So I asked, does the court now make our laws? Does the court now make our laws? Then close down Parliament. Let the 9 unjust judges rule, send the MPs home, and would save a ton of money. There is no allowance, by the way, for conscientious objectors. Pharmaceuticals, druggists, courts, lawyers, MPs, will somehow or other be involved in the taking of a life. Nurses, which exposes, if you like, the lie and the selfishness when someone says, it's my body, and if I want to die, it's no one else's business. Well, I have news for you. If you want someone else to kill you, it is everyone else's business. Doctors will become state executioners, especially when the state is eager to save money and maybe one day get rid of those who are even politically opposed. Can't happen here in Canada, of course. Well, it's happening. There is one good piece of news if you're interested. If you choose to die prematurely at the doctor's hands, the state will pay for it. And you can draw a line through that part in the Charter of Rights and Freedom, freedom of religion and conscience. Now, I don't know about you, and I know about myself, and I'm less than thrilled to walk into the front door of the doctor's clinic knowing coffins are going out the back door. I have a book in my library by William Gerner entitled War Against the Family. It's a great reading. Listen, if we consider life as a process of living from beginning to end, in which we are conceived in a human body, and expect to be nurtured in our parents' arms and die in our children's, the central question to be asked is, what protects our children from us and us from our children? Imagine having to ask the question at all. And this is his answer. Reflection will reveal nothing whatsoever can protect a single human soul from the ambition of the group except obedience of the group to some inviolable standard of behavior that declares each soul worthy of preservation and dignity. Nothing protects a single human soul unless the group agrees that every soul is worth preservation and dignity. He says, but when faith And this is what's happening in society, in a higher power, in our educational systems, in our universities, absolutely, is aggressively challenged. When a higher being, the faith in a higher being is aggressively challenged, many such protections erode. And motives for all social action become increasingly utilitarian, at which point all group values change according to whoever is in control of the group. Tribal leaders, dictators, courts, you name it. Do you follow that? The attack upon a higher being, the result increasingly utilitarian, at which point all group values change accordingly to whoever is in control. In Canada, the inferior court of Canada. Utilitarianism, by the way, means ethics or morality that derives their meaning from its utility, as in, does it work? Think of utilitarianism as a beehive. You're a bee, useful so long as you contribute to gathering the pollen. Once you can no longer gather the pollen, you're removed from the hive. That's a pretty depressing view of life. An example of utilitarian philosophy is Governor Lamb of Colorado. He stated, senior citizens had a duty to die and get out of the way. It is now our duty to die and get out of the way. They were, he stated, in honeybee language, wasting precious resources the other society kids needed to build a reasonable life. In this materialistic Western society, how much do kids need anyway? Their phone is next to their ear and... As I said, euthanasia and the euthanasia cult is more about pleasure than it is about pain. Notice the reason for killing always has a noble end for the kids, or to defend Allah's name, or to stop suffering where once we killed the pain but not the patient. They're called heroes today. Heroes. Boldly going where no other civilization has ever gone before. The death head squads were Nazi bullies, and yet they were heroes of a new world order. And the Muslim martyrs who rape and kill will enjoy a blessed eternity. But when Jesus returns in blazing fire with his powerful angels, they will burn in hell for all eternity who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again in burning glory. He's coming with all his powerful angels, and those who pass laws to murder others will stand before the Supreme Court and will pay the penalty for their wickedness as they bullied others into the grave. The Colorado governor showed his anti-God bias, and these people are not pleasant people, by the way, as he railed against seniors and called them fertilizers for the next generation. And he got voted into office. It's more about pleasure than pain. Excuse me, but I'm a senior citizen. I'm still working. At 75, I'm still paying taxes. I'm still serving Canadian society. Thousands of seniors keep contributing to society as a whole, enriching lives, volunteering, sharing their years of experience and skills garnered in a lifetime. How dare this man or any man decide whose life is not valuable? And even if I were in a wheelchair and dependent and dependent. My worth is not bestowed by man, society, or any human cabal, but by God Himself. And maybe the fact that I'm in a wheelchair and my children are taking care of me makes them more compassionate and loving and caring in a world that seems to have lost the ability to love and to care and to be compassionate. What is euthanasia, you ask? It's a Greek word. EU, meaning well or good. And thanatos, meaning, in our language, death. Euthanasia, supposedly, is a good death. Rita Marker, director of the Anti-Euthanasia Task Force, defines it this way: making a patient die, either by doing something which is commission or by holding something which is omission. Either way, listen, euthanasia is an act committed with the intent to end a life. But surely, Pastor, it's okay if I request an appointed agent of the state to end my life. If the burden of life becomes too much for me, after all, it's my body. And I can do what I please with my body. Where have you heard that before? With abortion. It's my body. I can do what I like with my body. Wait a minute. That baby being formed in the womb is not your body. It bears your genes, but you're not genetically the same. It's not your body. So the slogan, "No unwanted babies," has now become "No unwanted grannies." There's a connection, a wedge issue. When we were back in the abortion movement, I marched in the Toronto streets. It was one of the biggest marches ever held in Toronto against abortion. Over 20,000 were there. We marched through the streets past Morgenthaler's clinic. As we marched through the streets, we protested with the recognition that if you kill in the womb, you'll kill at the tomb. It only took a little longer than I expected. It isn't your body. You're a tenant. You're not the landlord. It is God who formed your body in your mother's womb. It is God who will hold you accountable for what you do with your body. The second thing is, when someone says, "Well, the pain is far too much, I'm going to have to ask for the needle," who gave you the right to ask someone to kill you, making them a murderer, no matter what the lawyers or Supreme Court or the MPs, putting their souls in jeopardy for all eternity? And listen, your willingness to employ state resources puts other lives in jeopardy. Wherever the shadow of euthanasia falls, the victims include an ever-widening circle. So if you're ever faced with the question, then ask yourself, if I stand strong here, I may be protecting thousands and hundreds of thousands, as in Auschwitz later on. Autism is now subject to killing. Depression is subject to killing. The state will help you with your suicide, especially for the young. But let me remind you that once we pass these laws, there becomes, just as with abortion, the attitude that it is okay and that it is right and that it is just that a million and millions of babies should be slaughtered and slaughtered and slaughtered until we have blood from the South Pole to the North Pole. And those who killed their children in the womb now find the children killing them in their old age. After 10 years of euthanasia in Brussels, children are now on the firing line. And laws were recently passed that children could make the decision to end their lives if they wished. 185 doctors protested and said, we can control the pain. The pain can be managed. They're too young to make those decisions. The legislators voted in almost unanimously. You and I, unwilling to face a little pain at the end, can cause a disaster of far-reaching consequences. Shame if you cannot see by being a good soldier, enduring some pain and anxiety, and yet saving countless lives by refusing to take your own or anyone else's life. As a Christian, I want to be like Charles Wesley. They might not like the way we lived and they might not like our message, but they like the way we die. I will die in the Lord. And I hope that as that moment comes that I'm praising God and I hope my family is with me. But if I should suddenly go, that's fine too. But when I see my doctor tomorrow, I'm going to insist, don't you dare ever think of putting me to death. I'll die in God's timing. Fourth, you help avoid when you take a stand. Our present culture of death and suicide. Recently, a town in Canada became alarmed by the number of suicides. When a young person commits suicide, others think that they can do the same. Why not end my life? Why not just quit with all the problems and troubles? Listen, life is full of pain. Life is full of troubles. What are we raising? Children to be bubble wrapped? Make them realize that. There are costs in life, but it's worth the living. And even those troubles and those difficulties and pain are often the very means whereby we're honed and we are made characters instead of just a bunch of jellyfish. When laws are passed to allow assisted suicide, suicide loses its stigma. And especially for young people, it becomes an option. Surely, Pastor, and I got to close soon, but listen to me. Surely, Pastor, there's safeguards. We're told that there will be two physicians and they must agree. Ever see one physician agree with another physician? I've never seen that. The person must be fully competent and there must be a 2-week period. That is ridiculous. That will float away on the stream of euthanasia. In the Netherlands, 14,691 people in the Netherlands were killed annually by involuntary euthanasia, even though they had the same laws. More people die involuntarily than from voluntary euthanasia. Doctors don't even bother now with the second option. 14% of the cases, that's 140 people a day, were fully competent. Reasons given, low quality of life, family couldn't take it anymore. It's more about pleasure, isn't it, than pain. Those hospitalized, 45% killed without knowledge of the family. 27% had morphine overdoses. The patient was competent and not informed what the doctor's intent was. After 10 years of introduction to euthanasia, I listened to one of our MPs on the radio, and the MP was talking about the importance of the bill that is coming up, and he was extolling it. And he said, and one of the great things we have is we have the record of Holland, and we have the record of Belgium. Well, he should have studied it. A survey of Dutch nursing homes, 60% feared voluntary euthanasia. Involuntary euthanasia. Many elderly will not go to the hospital for minor surgery because they're afraid the doctor will put them to death and they'll not return home. A letter to the editor by Van Houten, and he says this, we indulge in the delusory hope that our safeguards will be effective where theirs is porous, that is Belgium and Holland. Our refusal to take advantage of the available evidence doesn't give credence to the self-congratulatory notion that Canadians are somehow inherently clever and more efficient than the Belgians. I get so tired of smugness of Canadians. In a culture of death, people can be talked into accepting assisted killing. Talked into it. To fudge the facts by talking about extreme pain when most people die peacefully or have sudden heart attacks. Further, we have means to control pain and to limit pain like no other civilization on the face of the earth. Further, when killing is acceptable, no other means or methods are sought out when you can reach for the syringe and end life. Yolanda McShane urged her mother in a nursing home to take an overdose of sleeping pills that she had brought with her. The mother, showing attitudes rested in Christianity, resisted. "A dog hasn't got a soul," she said. "I'm afraid of being punished after. It is a mortal sin." The daughter gave this answer, which the erosion of the Christian base, the consequent loss of humanness, would naturally produce. "People are doing it left, right, and center. It's not a sin anymore. It's nothing nowadays." I know pain is not easy. I don't like pain either. I sympathize with those who all their life have pain. But looking after the dying is wearisome. Sometimes it's costly. But it's worth it if we're going to show our humanity at all. Just some last thoughts then. Rescue those who are being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say we know nothing of this, how many Germans were listed? Were right next to the concentration camp. We knew nothing of this. Does he who weighs the heart not perceive it? My wife and I. Here's just some suggestions, all right? My wife and I were watching on YouTube a doctor who stopped doing abortions. And he it all happened because a pregnant woman came to him with her pregnancy, and the woman said after the first visit, she said, "Doctor, I'd like to talk with you just for a moment." And he said, "Well," I sat her down, and she said, "You know, Jesus loves you, and I would that he wants you to stop aborting those babies." Well, he hustled her right out of the room. But, of course, she's a patient now. And she came back for further tests, and each time she said, "But, Doctor, Jesus loves you, and he wants you to stop doing these abortions." And one day he said he did an abortion. "Oh, by the way, this isn't pleasant, but you see, you vacuum the little child out and you take the pieces out afterwards and you set the pieces all together again because you have to make sure that everything is out of the womb." And he looked at the child and said, "I'm never going to do this again." God was working in his heart. Stop. There are things we can do. Maybe you don't want to go to an abortionist doctor or euthanasia doctor, but maybe you can go to the euthanasia doctor and say, "Listen, I want to talk with you. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to shout at you. I just want to tell you I don't want you to put me to death, no matter how much pain I'm in." And then, "Doctor, would you stop putting people to death? Because someday you'll have to face the Lord Jesus." Isn't one of the ways we stop people dying as we start praying? We start pleading with the Lord. We don't think much of prayer today. We don't think prayer is important. But maybe we need to be prayer warriors. Maybe tears will not start rolling down our cheeks. Because the fact is, we have sold our heritage for a massive pottage. And the church is responsible for this as well. You teach your children and explain to them the importance of life, the importance of life-giving and being life-positive. How to stop is to visit the hospitals and the sick and the dying and encourage them with the word and encourage them with your presence and read to them and to hold them and hug them. That's how we prove that we're not part of the death society. We have to pray. We have to wake up. This pulpit has to wake up. And God's people have to wake up. You say, oh, I'm only one person. Who am I to stand up? But listen, it's one person here and one person there. What they said in Germany was that there was nobody who stood against Hitler except a few. And there was no medical society that stood against Hitler and said, we will not do this. Pray earnestly, plead with God, spread the good news. Jesus is a fountain of life. I have come to give life. I have come to give life abundantly. Everybody talks about death, but Jesus talks about life. Talk to your friends, talk to others, call them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can turn aside this death culture that has come down upon us. If we're part of the death culture, if we put down people, if we're nasty to people, if we're unkind to people, if all we can praise is the beautiful and the wonderful, we're part of the death culture when we come along and we're always critical and we're always depressed and we're always sad and always something to complain about. Schaeffer said, we challenge you to be a person in the impersonal age. Be human in an inhuman age. Put people on in your life first, whether perfect or marred. This, he says, is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of being people with people. Come to your senses, he said. You and those around you are people, not dogs made of the image of the personal God who created all people in his image. Don't be part of the death culture. Be part of the life culture, the Jesus culture. We need to wake up, sleeper. That's what Paul says. Wake up, you sleepers. In the resistance in Holland, there's this pamphlet that was sent out when the Nazis occupied Holland. Protest against the detestable persecution of the Jews. Organize self-defense in the factories and districts. Solidarity with the hard-hit Jewish section of the working people. Snatch Jewish children from Nazi violence. Take them into your family. Strike, strike, strike. Solidarity, courage. Fight proudly for the liberation of our country. You see, much of modern culture is cutting itself off from the life of Christ. And we think that we can have compassion and freedom and progress and beauty without a connection to Christ and biblical guidance. But where fewer and fewer people follow Christ, eventually sexual immorality rises. Amen. Abortion increases. Amen. Family life falters. Amen. Economics are hampered by corruption. Amen. Science and technology become dehumanizing and dangerous. Art and literature get uglier and uglier. For cultural renewal, personal salvation in Jesus Christ, the world changer. His kingdom is, if you like, a seed. To be part of that growth, you must have his life in you. Christ's kingdom is like yeast, he said, spreading through the loaf to be a leavening influence on others. And that's what we ought to be. His yeast must be at work in you and in me. Personal salvation and cultural transformation go together, and Christ is the source of both. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we grieve this morning for our nation. We grieve, O Lord, for those who are in high courts and those in Parliament, who see this, O Lord, not as it truly is, but conceive it as something that is merciful and kind and good, not knowing the greed of men's hearts, not knowing, O Lord, those who hanker after granny's inheritance, that, O Lord, as we take life, it becomes cathartic, and we find ourselves taking more life. and more life as a solution to the problems in society. We've lost, Lord, our humanity because we have lost, O Lord. We have lost, O Lord, our connection with you and with Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we pray and plead that we might be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. And yes, if that time comes, and it will come, when we face death and we're going into eternity, and if, O Lord, in that process there is pain, may we remember that you are God. And may we remember, O Lord, in that hour, that even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death and it seems long, you are with us, and your rod and staff comforts us, and you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies that they know nothing of, and we'll dwell in your house forever and ever, world without end. Amen.